Bible available, I encourage you to open to the book of James. We're just going to hit one scripture there before we go on to a lot of other topics that we're going to discuss this afternoon about disappointment. That was seemed like the popular vote for this afternoon. I thank you so much for all your kind words and all the things that you have said to me after services and the hospitality I'll always receive when I've been here. I thank so much for Jeff and Sandy having me in their home. I think Jeff wish he would have been in a better mood if Ohio State would have won last night. But unfortunately, we couldn't have that happen there last evening. But I do thank you so much for having me in your home. And I thank you, Jason and Andrea. Jason had to work this afternoon, but from the bottom of my heart, I love you guys so much. You guys always are so good to me. It was funny that he mentioned, he goes, if you remember him, he was the best man at the wedding. And boy, does this seem like it's been forever, especially almost three kids later. But I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, the warm reception I always feel here. So that is greatly appreciated. Always remember me in your prayers, though. As I do travel, there's always a Sunday I'm preaching somewhere. It's not something that's just new to me. It's something that I do every Sunday. And I think for about 5 years, there's only been 3 days I've missed preaching the gospel on a Sunday. So pray for me as I travel all over the place. I go to Morgantown, West Virginia a couple times a month. I go to Fairmont, West Virginia once a month. I go to Ravenswood, West Virginia. I also go to a congregation in Ohio. And it just varies on what day it is that I go there and preach the gospel. Sometimes in a congregation called Lowell, and sometimes in a congregation called Merrill's Ridge. My phone seems like it never stops ringing when it comes to preaching the gospel in certain places, such as Washington, Pennsylvania, such as Hartshorn Ridge in Ohio. I can go on and on some of the places that I've called. So always remembering your prayers that the gospel is being preached and it's doing to the right spirit and truth. And with that being said, we'll just start our lesson this afternoon. When we talk about disappointment, you can see very well in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. So many people in this world today don't say the word when. They want to say the word if. Because some people have this perception that disappointment should not be something that's in a part of my life. Brothers and sisters, you will be disappointed if you believe that you will not receive disappointment in your life, especially as a Christian. How sad is it we have so many preachers in here in the world today that will tell you about how wonderful Christian life is, and it's just nothing but roses and flowers, and it'll be just such a puffy life. I don't know how to explain it, where they think it's just so easy until after they come out of the baptism pool. And they see the things that happen within a congregation, such as strife and backbiting and hypocrisy. And people believe that there should not be such thing as disappointment. Realize James makes it very clear. You will face temptations. You will face trials. You will face tribulations. To think you don't is being ignorant. And we're going to talk about that thing. We're going to also talk about there are situations in the Scriptures where you find individuals that face disappointment often. And we'll talk about that here just in a little bit. Let's talk about overcoming that discouragement that comes by disappointment. Realize no one is exempt. There is no exception to the rule. There's no individual out there that can say, well, I have never had disappointment, Jay. You have. If you're going to do it according to God's will, you have. There's not an elder, I believe, that has ever said, well, Jay, my job's pretty easy. I bet there's not a deacon around here who could probably say, well, I have a pretty good job. You ever think why it's so hard sometimes to have an elder or a deacon to fulfill that position? It's because of this right here. Because there's going to be problems that they're going to have to deal with, and they don't want to deal with some of those situations because it's going to be hard. And they're going to have to make a decision, and it may not be something that they like. No one is an exception to the rule. No Christian has ever went through the life according to the Spirit and truth and said, it's easy. All of us are probably right now thinking to ourselves some disappointment we received in our Christian life. Realize that sometimes that disappointment cuts deep too. Every time I have preached this sermon, I've preached this sermon before, but every time I preach this sermon, I think of one certain individual and her husband that fell away from the church. They split up of sexual immorality. And you know, there's so many people in this world today will say, well, because they split up and they decided to go on different paths, you know, no one never gets hurt. Really. I would like to give them this example right here. Because they think it was just the husband and the wife that they're the only ones that are going to be really suffering. But they never think about the two children that they have. They never think about their father and their mother who has faced that discouragement and that disappointment of a marriage that failed. Or their grandparents for that matter. Or a congregation for that matter that they've been so close to. And realize that they was not just close to that congregation that they attend to every Sunday, but they was also close to individuals that they go to services at other congregations. My wife, it is so hard to see her cry about certain things such as that. And some people say that adultery doesn't hurt anybody other than the two individuals involved. Spare me. Sometimes the things that we've experienced in our Christian life hurt and hurt bad. Sometimes our disappointment are in areas that are very serious. There's probably some people who disagree with what I'm going to say here, but I'm going to say it anyways. A Christian has no business trying to marry a non-Christian. And a lot of people say, oh, how dare you? Let me tell you why. Anybody who's ever been married, husbands, do you remember what your wedding day was like? We was talking, joking around back here after services this afternoon about weddings and how they can come bridezillas and how horrible they've become. I said, you know, the thing I remember the most of my wedding was when my wife walked down that aisle. And she was doing it for me. She was willing to sacrifice her last name and give herself to me. And some of the things we talk about, some of the silly things we've done in our married life, and just the joy we had of one another, and the love we have for one another. And I think to myself, if I had so much concern for her, if I love her that much in a physical sense, why would I not do that in a spiritual sense as well? Or better yet, when you have children. My boys and my daughter, I have two boys and a daughter, and they never cease to amuse me. Carter, he came home one night and told me, he says, do you know how to make a tissue dance? And I was like, no. He says, you put a boogie in it. Those little things can make you always remember about what your children do. And I think to myself, if I was so concerned about my soul, and I was so concerned about my wife's soul, what about my children's soul as well? That's why I have that belief. Because if I love my children, and I love my wife that much, I'm going to make sure, to the best of my ability, that hopefully we can get there together. As well as my children. If I have that much love for them. But just that went a little bit off the subject here, but here comes my point now. I preached that sermon to one lady that was going to get married to an individual who wasn't a Christian. And I remember preaching that sermon. I remember looking her straight in the eyes. She was sitting there. I was nothing against you, Andrea. It's just that's where she was sitting. I can remember to this day. She sat in this area and I looked at her and I told her about Romans and I told her about Corinth and I told her about the things, how God did not want us to be unequally yoked with one another. And I can remember doing it with all my passion and heart to make her understand. After services, she came up to me. She says, Jay, I really enjoyed your sermon. She gave me a hug like she always did and she left. unfortunately, she got married. And unfortunately, 5 years later after I preached that sermon, she's having problems now. How many times have we preached sermons or we have said certain things to individuals and you give them book, chapter, and verse and you could tell them with all your heart and all your might and you tell them about the gospel and what they need to do and it's like, yep, I understand that. But that's about as far as it goes. That's some serious stuff there, people. Let's not tiptoe around the subject. Realize what the gospel says. If you do according to His will, you will have the hope of heaven. But if you do not do according to His will, there is hell waiting for you. Let's not sit around there and say, well, yeah, he may be doing some things wrong, but he's just a good old boy. Let's not play that game. Because when we play that game, we become passive, and then we be held accountable as well. Realize disappointment can come in areas that are serious. Realize that we can see disappointment and throughout the scriptures of certain individuals that express disappointment to a certain extent. For example, in people we trust. How many of us, when we're baptized new in Jesus Christ and when we obey the gospel and we do certain things, you hear certain things. And you see hypocrisy. And we become disappointed in the things that we see. You're not alone. We see Paul have this same issue as well. You look at Colossians chapter 4. You can also look in the book of Philemon where Paul talks about Demas being with him. How great was it for a brother to be with him in a time of him traveling? You know, when I travel, most of the time I'm alone. You had a brother with you here probably a couple weeks back by the name of Jared Kearns. He's a friend of mine. He used to be my traveling buddy. When I went to go preach somewhere, he came along with me. We had some good times together. And it makes the trips so much easier to go to. As much as it probably would with Paul. As he went from place to place and he was going through the trials that he had to deal with, we see that he talks about Demas as that fellow brother in Christ. Unfortunately, we see in Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9-11, he talks about how Demas forsook him, loving this present world. Brothers and sisters, don't be discouraged when you see brothers and sisters in Christ fall away from the faith. Don't think it has to do with you. We can overcome that disappointment. Sometimes we can be disappointed in those members of the church. If you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, where Paul is talking about giving when he went from place to place, he was trying to do certain things. And he talks about giving and helping him in his time of need. He said the only ones that did it was the church of Philippi. Now let's think about this. Well, he wrote this letter. Think within yourself how many congregations that he's probably been to at this time before he's been at Philippi. And think about the times he's been to certain congregations afterwards. And the only one that is worried about his financial well-being or if he's able to go from place to place, the only one's worried about that is the church of Philippi? Wouldn't that be discouraging for any preacher to go somewhere and the only one that's concerned about him is just one congregation, even though he's been to 10 different ones? Would you not think there's a little disappointment for an individual that has went and tried to help these people in their spiritual needs? He even speaks about how he went from place to place and made tents that he would be a burden on the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 3. As we see, Paul talks to these individuals and tells them what he has been teaching them. And tells them that he has been teaching them milk. And how discouraging it is But that's as far as they got. How disappointing it is to see individuals that should quote-unquote know better. You know why I haven't been able to give you meat? It's because you can't drink the milk. Brothers and sisters, realize that we will be disappointed from time to time when we see individuals in a congregation that's supposed to be better than what they were 5 years ago. Every year at a congregation in Gladesville, I tell them what year anniversary I've been there. And this is my fifth year I was with Gladesville. And I ask them every year, I said, are you better now than what you were yesterday? Are you better now than what you were last year? Or about 5 years ago? If there is individuals in this congregation that you say that I'm not the same person that I was 5 years ago, you might be doing something right. But if you're sitting there and say nothing's changed, I'd really examine yourself. Because we can't be an individual where we say, well, I'm fine just the way I am. That's a dangerous attitude to have. Paul was discouraged because this congregation in Corinth should be stronger than what they really are. As we talked about this morning about the work of the church, and we talk about how it's everybody's responsibility to do something, I dare you, every one of you here at Knollwood this afternoon, be better than what you are right now. Become stronger in the faith. Become stronger with one another. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Don't think what you are right now is as good as you're going to get. Because if you carry that attitude, you will fail. And you will make individuals around you weak. Let's become stronger. We see Paul do this with the church of Corinth. Realize, brothers and sisters, we become disappointed with God. Oh, wow, Jay. That's a very bold statement to say. One thing I'll always remember as I saw that second tower fall in 9/11, I can remember somebody cursing God back in the background. They end up bleeping it out. And they think that it's God's fault for the bad things that happen in the world. No, that was the evil of men that did that. Don't sit there and blame God for every time you have a trial or a tribulation. Or when you have a prayer for God that He's not answering, that oh, I don't believe in God anymore. We can see a couple of examples of individuals that believed in God and still had problems. Turn with me to Psalms 35. Psalms chapter 35. And we're going to read this together. Starting in verse 12. Psalms 12 through 22. Or Psalms 35, 12 through 22. And it says, they reward me evil for good, to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, they were sick, and my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bow down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoice and gather together. Attackers gathered against me, and I did not know it. They tore at me and did not cease, and with ungodly mockers at feast, they gnashed at me with their teeth. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions. I will give you thanks in that great assembly, and I will praise you among many people. Let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies. Neither let them wink with an eye who hate me without a cause. For they do speak peace, but they devise deceitful matters against the quiet ones in the land. Also, they opened their mouths wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. This you have seen, O Lord. Do not keep silent. O Lord, do not be far from me. Isn't this a guy after God's own heart? Why is a guy that has been described as a man after God's own heart talking like that? why is David, that has had his own son try to kill him for his kingdom? Why has David, who has lost, if I'm not mistaken, 3 sons, why has David, who has always had the enemy at his back, going through this? If he is a man after God's own heart, why does God do this to him? Do you think David may be just a little bit disappointed because of all the things he has to face? And God loves him? 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 8. We're talking about building a temple. And David wants to build this temple. The temple is torn down. He wants to build it back up again. And David wants to build this temple for God. A place of worship. He's going to make it nice. He's going to make it magnificent. And he wants to do this for his God. And God said, nope. No, you're not. Because of the bloodshed you have done, David, you are not going to build this temple for me. A man after God's own heart, a man that wanted to do something good for God, and God tells him no. Doesn't that bum me out a little bit? Brothers and sisters, realize some of the things that we want to do and we have so much zeal and desire to do, sometimes we have to be pushed back and told no. David has this great example of wanting to build a temple for his God, and his God tells him no. There could be a little bit of disappointment right there. We can look at Paul's thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 8, we see an example of Paul praying for his thorn in the flesh to be removed. How many times, brothers and sisters, have we sat down, we prayed for something that has troubled us or that has bothered us, or there's something that we love to have or have a desire for, and we pray for it, and if we pray for it one time, we think we should get a result. And it should be our way. Paul, here, prayed for his thorn in the flesh to be removed 3 times. How many attitudes have we seen, maybe within ourselves or with others, where they say, I prayed to God once, he should have answered. Okay, maybe 2 times I should pray, but that second time, if he doesn't answer me, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. Here it is 3 times, and we don't even know. We see it somewhat answered, but we see here prayed 3 times. If Paul was doing all the things that he was doing for the glory of God, the suffering, the persecution, and the trials, and the beatings, and being shoved out of towns, and being discouraged by his own brethren, all these things, should he really have to pray 3 times to his God to have that removed? Do you think he might be a little bit upset over that? One should have been good enough. 2's pressing the lock. If I was Paul, 3, I'll be out the door. Could there not be a little bit of disappointment in that? How about disappointment within yourself? Yes, brothers and sisters, let's not leave out us. Has been times that we have been disappointed with ourselves. The greatest example I ever find is in Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. If you look through that scripture where Peter is outside waiting to see what's going to happen to Jesus, and here comes the denials. It says, surely that man was with them. He says, I do not know that man. Second time, he does it again. Third time, in some translations, he even cursed to let them know that he was like the world. Now, you continue reading on there. Let me just give you a thought here. I don't like making my wife mad at all. my wife has this look about her. If I do something wrong, if I make a mess that I didn't clean up after myself, I'll let the boys do something that they're not supposed to do, I get that look. And I tell you guys, that look burns, it's like lasers going through your eye sockets when she looks at you, because you are in trouble, you are going to get it, because you should have known better. I'm dead. Now you think about that when you read these scriptures here. And after he denies him a third time, you see Jesus look. And I think about what's going through Peter's mind right now. Because Peter is thinking about all the times he said he would never do anything wrong to God or do wrong to Jesus. I would never betray you. I would never deny you. I will lay down my life for you. All these things that he has said, all these commitments that he has said to Jesus, now everything that he has tried to prove what he is has just went out the door. So bad that he wept, or he wept bitterly. All these things that he said is not important anymore. He's become disappointed with himself. We can also see Paul be that same individual as well in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, where Paul tells Timothy that he is the chiefest of sinners. You ever look throughout the epistles where Paul, and seems like this constant reassertion that he is an approved apostle of Jesus Christ. You ever wonder why that is? Imagine what the people say to him from town to town when he's not there. Well, you know what Paul was like. He persecuted Christians, and now he wants to be in your group? You don't want to listen to him. You might want to listen to me. That's the sad consequences of sin sometimes. I don't think when we commit sin, brothers and sisters, we don't look at the consequences that will happen later on. Paul was constantly reminded of the things that he has done in his past. And he reminds others of what kind of individual he used to be as well. Realize that Paul, there could be a possibility that he is disappointed because there is always this doubt within his own brethren of what he is. You know, I look forward one of these days to go back to Tyre County and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I grew up in Tyre County. And I think some people would be shocked if they ever saw what I do now. Because they don't even remember what I did from 1800. They never know what I did after I left Tyre County. And I think they'd be surprised. And I say that not to just pat myself on the back. I say this to tell you that just because you've hit rock bottom doesn't mean you can go any lower. All you can do is go up. You can overcome problems. You can make it work. You can still be an example. It's not too late. How did our examples answer their disappointment? Well, we look at David's example and we see that David made preparation for Solomon. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 11 through 18, we see that David, since he wasn't the one that was able to build that temple, he nonetheless had a son that was doing according to the will of God that could. Just because you can't doesn't mean it can't be done. Realize that we all have an opportunity to do certain things. I talked to one brother after services here. I can't remember if he's here tonight or not. I can remember he told me, he goes, you know, I could never stand up there and preach like you do in front of a group of people. There he is. But I could talk to someone one-on-one. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm up here in this pulpit because somebody talked to me one-on-one. Because somebody gave me the time. There's nothing wrong with one-on-one preaching and teaching. Just because you don't have the ability to do certain gifts, as we see Paul tells us, some were made apostles, some were made evangelists, and we see that not everybody's going to have the same talents. But nonetheless, you have a talent. And don't hide it in the sand, as we see in the parable of those coins. Even if you have one talent, you can still use it. And you can do a world of good. We can also see that Peter was converted. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34, we see after Jesus has risen from the dead, or wait a minute, I'm sorry, this is the one where Jesus said that he has prayed for Peter, that Satan's going to sift him as wheat. He has prayed for him. And when he has come back, strengthen your brethren. There was an individual that was that I heard this morning that was restored. I would encourage you, whoever you are, and I would encourage this congregation that has sometimes felt maybe they're weak. Get stronger. Don't let it get you down. Strengthen yourself. Strengthen your brethren. Let them know it's a job or a problem you can overcome. Don't override the disappointment. John 21, verses 15 through 19. We see this discussion of Jesus talking to Peter. And think how interesting it is. He tells him three times. He says, "Peter, do you love me?" And that third time, he's grieved. And maybe he's thinking about all the things that he has said he would never do. And has failed at it. And he reminds him, "Feed my sheep. You have made mistakes, but it doesn't mean that you should give up ship. Just because you made mistakes does not mean you can't be a Christian ever again." You know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, I believe some people will never come forward in a public manner because of the consequences that follow behind. Or the fear that they have that, well, if I come forward, everybody's going to look down on me because I have failed. Peter is one of the greatest apostles that we read about. And look how many times he has failed. Don't put yourself in a glass house and think that we can't be imperfect at times. We can overcome if we decide to be stronger after we have fallen. Finally, we see that Paul has found grace. Even though his thorn in the flesh, he may not got the answer he wanted, but he found grace in it because it has made him stronger. As we go back to James chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, "Count it all joy, because you're able to overcome. It has made you stronger, it has made you wiser, and it has made you able to carry on the next challenge that comes before you." Do not throw your hands up in the air when the first time you face trial and you say, "I can't handle it." What does God tell us about those trials? He would only give you as much as you can bear. Don't let Satan win. We see so many examples of disappointment throughout the Scriptures. Let me give you one more story. If you got a hymnal, go to 466. This song by Frank Grace. He wrote this song about a preacher that he met up in Philadelphia. He was called a sunshine preacher. The reason why he was called a sunshine preacher, because he was always happy. He was always just a spring in his step and a smile on his face. But that sunshine preacher faced some problems. People passed away that he loved. People stumbled. They had so much encouragement in. All these bad things were happening to him. And he writes it in this song. We'll go together with the lyrics here. It says, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with an aimless dread or fear? As the daylight fades and the deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him does he see? Can we all relate to that? Can we all sit there and say, yeah, I've been there? All these questions he asks, he answers in the chorus. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the daylight or the days are weary and the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. He cares enough for every one of us to have that hope of heaven. Do you want that? Is that something that you desire? Is this congregation in Oldwood not only desire for themselves, but they desire for everyone who wants to obey the gospel, for all the lost souls here in the Dayton area? Or in Xenia, Ohio? Do we have that desire to save souls? Do you care enough not only for yourselves and your loved ones, but those who do not know the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus loved it enough to die for us. If there is one here who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, he cared enough for you to obey. And as we see those examples, as we talked this morning about how to obtain our salvation, hear the word. We see it so many times on our PowerPoint projector. Hear the word. Believe the word. Repent of your sins and be buried in baptism. And remain faithful unto death. All those examples, we can find Jesus spoke of those. And we see if we do those things he commanded, he will always be with us. If there's one here who's fallen away from the faith and says, disappointment has had me overwhelmed and I need some help so bad, there's an opportunity now to come forward and say, I need help. I need the strength of my brethren. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider yourself, lest also thou be tempted. Help your brother. Strengthen your brother. If there's one that needs to respond to that, there's an opportunity now. There's no better time than now. And there will be a time when it is awfully too late. Whatever your needs are, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.